Prachetasa
Utuhu. The Pracheta said, Namaha. Obeisances. Namaha. Obeisances. Klesha. Material distress. Vinashanaya. Unto one who destroys. Nirupita. Settled. Udhara. Magnanimous. Guna. Qualities. Avyaya. Whose name? Manaha. Of the mind. Vachaha. Of speech. Vega. The speed. Puraha. Before. Javaya. Whose speed? Sarva Aksha. Of all material senses. Marigahai. By the paths. Agata. Not perceivable. Odhune. Whose course? Namaha. We offer our respects. So, translation. The Pracheta spoke as follows. Dear Lord, you relieve all kinds of material distress. Your magnanimous transcendental qualities and holy name are all auspicious. This conclusion is already settled. You can go faster than the speed of mind and words. You cannot be perceived by material senses. We therefore offer you respectful obeisances again and again. So you can repeat. The Pracheta spoke as follows. Dear Lord, you relieve all kinds of material distress. Your magnanimous transcendental qualities and holy name are all auspicious. The conclusion is already settled. You can go faster than the speed of mind and words. You cannot be perceived by material senses. We therefore offer you respectful obeisances again and again. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The word nirupita, meaning concluded, is very significant in this verse. No one has to conduct research work to find God or make progress in spiritual knowledge. Everything is conclusively there in the Vedas. Therefore, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, text 15, Vedaischa saver ahameva vedyaha. Understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of the Vedas is perfect and conclusive. The Vedas state, Akakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Krayamindriyahai. The transcendental names, forms, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of the Lord cannot be understood by our blunt material senses. Sevamukehi Jivada Swayameva Spuratyadaha. When a devotee engages his senses favorably in devotional service, the Lord, through his causeless mercy, reveals himself to the devotee. This is the conclusive Vedic process. The Vedas also indicate that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can, without a doubt, become spiritually advanced. We cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the speed of mind or words. But if we stick to devotional service, we can easily and quickly approach him. In other words, the Supreme Lord is attracted by devotional service, and he can approach us more swiftly than we can approach him with our mental speculation. The Lord has stated that he is beyond the range of mental speculation and the speed of thought, yet he can be approached easily by his causeless mercy. Thus, only by his causeless mercy can he be attained. Other methods will not be effective. So, Prachetasa Uchu, the Monama Klesha Vidashanaya, Yurupito Dara Gunan Vajaya, Manovacho Vega Puro Javaya, Sarvaksha Margar Agatadvine Namaha. So Omagana Timadanda Sha Kadanjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Mititam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So let's first start talking about this word Klesha. Klesha means material distress, as Srila Prabhupada translates it here. And unfortunately, we forget very often how distressful this material world is. And therefore, we become complacent or not grateful for what we have in devotional service. And because we're sort of insulated, at least in the Western world and, you know, New Goloka, we're sort of insulated from the miseries of material existence. Of course, not all of us are insulated. Some of you have to deal with what adiatmik, adivodiak, adidaivik, adidavodiak, the fourfold miseries of material existence. Anyway, that miseries from other living entities, miseries from the material nature, miseries for one's own body and mind, and miseries from other devotees. So, but really, I mean, these things are light. What we have to deal with, like, let's say, the interactions with devotees, I mean, you know, there's a little friction, things like that. It's very light compared to what the material energy can do and does do to people. Just like I've been communicating with various devotees around the world who are really suffering, you know, suffering more intensely than we're experiencing at the present time. For example, I have some disciples in Mexico, and this couple, the lady was pregnant and she had twins, and one twin was growing too fast in the womb and the other twin wasn't growing at all, so they just had to, anyway, they became premature babies and they both died upon coming to the air. And you know, that's really, and they're in real anxiety. The names of they gave the names of the babies like Gore and Natai. You know, so it's just, it's so painful for people. I mean, you brahmacharis don't understand this, but anyway, but it's painful, you know, like for a mother or for the father or whatever. It's just painful to see people die, especially the children die. And so they're writing me letters about this. And then other things, just like as we get older in Krishna consciousness, and most people are getting older, as far as I see. As we get older in Krishna consciousness, that means most of the people we know are also getting older. Not most of them, all of them. You know, that would be wrong to say most of the people we know are also getting older, or their bodies are getting older. That would be more precise. So, and then practically speaking, as we've been traveling around the world, you know, we're almost having a funeral every week or a funeral every few days to go to, for different devotees or their relatives or their mother, the father, or something like that. And it gets very intense. You know, all this, like in Fiji, someone's mother, a father died, and then even in like New Zealand, Australia, I mean, just basically, it's just really intense. I'm just wondering if I should open up a funeral home rather than a Hare Krishna temple. Because it's so, I mean, it just happened. So in other words, We're not so much experiencing these things right now. At least I'm not so much experiencing these things right now, speaking for myself. And so we become rather complacent. I was speaking also to Krishna Priya yesterday, how she's also experiencing the misery, you know, having to deal with how, the situation her mother's in. You know, her mother is at the point where practically she even breathes, she breaks a bone. And they have to put her into a nursing home. Anyway, a nursing home is not the most enjoyable experience because basically, you know, there's other people there. And actually, they put her in an ward of the nursing home where people have psychological problems. And, you know, like Alzheimer's disease and everything like that. You know, like in the nursing home, they have these wards. I don't know if any of you have been in, at least visiting people in nursing home. They have these locked wards because if the patients get out and they start wandering around, they get lost. Even I was visiting one of my godbrothers. His name is Pundarik. And he used to be a temple president in Gainesville, Florida. And he's in a nursing home somewhere in Mississippi. And I visited him several times when I was in New Orleans recently. And he's in one of these lock wards because basically he has Parkinson's disease and he's not always aware of everything in his external surroundings. And then he has to live in a room where with someone else, basically, who's not a devotee, usually. I would say most of the people in the nursing home are not devotees. And so one time he had to be in a room with a famous general, some big guy, you know, so, because this is a high-class nursing home. A famous general who was in the U.S. Army or Air Force, and this guy, you know, obviously he was such a famous person, so powerful, and then he's just in a nursing home practically drooling. And he had to be in his room, because he was scared of chanting Hare Krishna in front of him because this was an army officer. Even though the army officer obviously didn't have guns in the nursing home and wasn't able to beat him up. But still, you know, he was thinking, I don't want to offend this person like that. So he had to chant his japa very quietly and play his MP3 player just through his earphones. So, and then in the nursing home, there's also this one lady who comes around and proposes to the men. You know, one old lady is about 80 years old. She comes around and grabs the men's clothing from time to time. There's another old lady who goes around and steals things in everyone's room. And so, you know, it sounds funny, but this is, you know, misery. It's misery. And I've been with my godbrothers who have had cancer in the final stages of life, like Dr. Tirtha Maharaj. And the last time I saw him, I wanted to just give him a little hug. And he said, don't touch me. If you touch me, the bones will break in the chest because the cancer had eaten away at the bones. So, I mean, it is miserable in this material world. There's no doubt about it. And it is, you know, Maya has a conspiracy. And that conspiracy is to make us suffer. And there's a reason for that, of course, is to bring us to the point of Krishna consciousness. Some people get into other conspiracies. They take them so seriously. Just like I was talking to a devotee in Korsnäs, that's in Sweden. And he was talking about this all these conspiracies, you know, the banking conspiracies in the world it's just amazing how many conspiracies people come up with. Whether they're true or false, you know, and he even gave me some films to watch as I was taking the plane back from Sweden. So, maybe it's interesting. So I looked and they're just so, you know, so this conspiracy for this, conspiracy for that. The Masons have some conspiracy against us, you know, and the Jewish people have some conspiracy. The Bolsheviks, Rockefeller has another conspiracy. You know, the Rockefeller descendants have another conspiracy. I just think, the material world's miserable. That's all we have to know. Maya's in charge, and there's all these going to be miserable things going on in the world. So, the question is, Aklesha Vinat Shanaya. How can we destroy these material miseries? And we see that even if one is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, that basically the same sort of problems occur in one's body. One has enemies. Of course, a devotee doesn't consider anyone to be his or her enemies. One has enemies. One has diseases. One gets old. You know, sometimes I look in the mirror and say, Krishna, I'm your devotee. Why have you done this to me? You know, I'm supposed to be happy in this material world. This was never explained to me when I joined the Hare Krishna movement that I'd be old. I mean, Prabhupada explained, I understand. But the other devotees that, you know, honey, bhutani, gachanti, yamalaya, they never considered that one day we'd be old. So the way that we can conquer these miseries is through transcendental knowledge and detachment. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jinayati Asuvayaragyam Jnanam Chayad Ahoitakam. And that transcendental knowledge and detachment comes about only from performing Vasudeva Bhagavati devotional service unto Krishna. And there's an interesting point there. It's a necessary requisite. devotional service unto Krishna that is guided by Krishna and or his representative coming down in disciplic succession. Because devotional service or mantras chanted or anything, Shruti, Smriti, Purnadi, Pancharatriki, Vihim, Vina, Aikantiki, Harir, Bhakti, Upata, Yaiva, Kalpate. The devotional service without reference to the Vedic literature is a reference to the connection with the spiritual master, simply a disturbance in society. Shruti, Smriti, Purnadi, Pancharatriki, Vihim, Vina. Of course, this verse doesn't specifically mention spiritual master, but within those Shrutis and the Smritis and the Puranas, there's a mention of verses like Tad Viganartam, Sagurameva, Vigachet, Samidpani, Trochyam, Brahmanishtam, how one has to connect through disciplic succession. I mean, Bhagavad Gita, Evam Param Paraptam, Imam Raja Sheho Vidahu. I mean, there's so many statements there in the Vedic literature. So one has to follow the authorized process, and then one is connected. Otherwise, what one may be experiencing in Krishna consciousness may be a illusory Krishna consciousness. Just like what Ravana was experiencing was an illusory Sita Devi, called Maya Sita. So sometimes people think, I'm very Krishna conscious, but they're not Krishna conscious. They're thinking like that. Just like when one can go to Radhakund and find many ex-ISKCON devotees who have left the Srila Prabhupada Society. And having left Prabhupada Society, they think they've gotten something better. They've approached some Babaji's. Now, this is not a criticism of any Babaji's. I'm sure that there's many, many nice Babaji's who are pure devotees. But they approach some Babaji's, and they think that, you know, all I heard from Prabhupada was, you know, you're not the body, you got to go in Sankirtan, you have to distribute prasadam. But I never heard about the intimate loving exchanges of Radha Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada does talk about the intimate loving exchanges of Radha Krishna. I mean, read the Krishna book, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's so much information there. But people are lured by something quick and easy. You can just be there. Just like when I'm in Govardhan, I'm thinking, you know, oh, just nice to be a Babaji. You know, the mind is like that. Oh, nice to be a Babaji, just wear a short dhoti, no more emails or headaches or anything, just chant Hare Krishna and roll on the ground in ecstasy. And frankly, I have to admit, I'm very attracted to that style of life. I mean, not taking shelter of the Babaji's at Radhakund, but just like doing my own Babaji thing. You know, just being have my own Babaji disciplic session. You go in front of a mirror of Prabhupada and taking Babaji initiation from a mirror. You know, I have to admit, it's attractive, especially as you get older and you have to deal with, anyway, so many things that you have to deal with in the management of the internet. But then, what I do is I hear Prabhupada's voice, and he says, no, you rascal. You know, it's just not, so it's just, I can't put any earplugs in my ears because the voice doesn't exactly cover the ears. It's just like a little child doesn't want to hear the parents, you know, blocks out what the parents are saying because the child wants to do what it's saying. Didn't I tell you to clean your room? No, you never told me to clean. I never heard you. Didn't I call you for prasanna? Huh? I don't remember that. Yeah, you don't. It's selective remembrance. So, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, you know, I have this voice of Prabhupada that talks to me. And Prabhupada says, no, you rascal. Don't you understand exactly what's being described here? This is a descending process. Not an ascending process. Descending process means the holy name Krishna has to reveal itself to you, has to descend from the spiritual world, Galokayara, Premadana, Harinam, Sankirtan. A connection with Krishna has to be, you know, Krishna's mercy, not your endeavor in opposition to what the spiritual master would want. So therefore, you can't do that. I mean, you can spend a little time in Govardhan, but then hit the road, Jack. Not And you can come back more, some more. not hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. But, you know, hit the road, Swami. And, you know, serve my mission. Like Prabhupada said, it was very interesting. He said if one who thinks he could become Krishna conscious, and, you know, outside of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, you know, which basically means not just you're an official member. You know, anybody can be an official member. You just pay your life membership dues and get your card. But outside of the Krishna, and that means outside of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and his bona fide representative, then Prabhupada said he's living an hallucination. And hallucinations appear very real, don't they? I mean, I remember the 1960s. A lot of people were hallucinating, and it was real for them. You know, what do they say? Perceptions are real for the person. You know, what someone perceives. It's very real. It's not real in the same sense that everybody else can see it. But it's real for the person. I mean, it's a question of how you define reality. Just like when we were young, we had this interesting personal definition of reality that if a tree falls in the forest and I'm not there to see it, it doesn't actually fall. Or if something happens in the world, you know, this really self-centered type of conception. If something happens in the world and I'm not aware of it, it doesn't really happen. It only happens because I'm aware. In other words, I'm God. So we think that our reality is objective, is an objective reality. But it's not really. So in other words, that's what a hallucination is. There was this interesting movie a while ago. It was called A Beautiful Mind. Anyone seen that movie? You seen that movie? It was about a man who actually, he had some sort of schizophrenia. And he was seen, literally seen. I recommend that movie highly. It's not one of Gopal's movies. But anyway, he was seeing other people who were talking to him. And, you know, it was reality to him. And then ultimately, if he wanted to function in this world of other people, he just had to, even though they were still there talking to him, what did he have to do? Does anyone remember the movie? What?
Ignore them.
I mean, they were still there, chatting away, you know, and everything like that. Because he had to accept his intelligence. You know, it was so real to him. And, I mean, it's true. It's true. I mean, I've never experienced it like that, but I assume. And I've seen people, like, under the influence of LSD. Things were so real to them until they came down. They were so real, and then after that, they came down and they played. It was interesting. They would sometimes record what they said under the influence of LSD. You ever see that? And then they were thinking, I got to save these realizations, you know, these really ecstatic realizations that I've had. And then, you know, 2 weeks later when they came down, because it takes a long time to come off of this completely. She's the expert. She knows about this thing. So he would listen to the tape and said, huh? It sounds like a crazy person. I've seen people do that. Haven't you seen people do that? It sounds like a crazy. Was that me? You know, life's just a balloon. You know, and they say so many wild things. Life's the peanut in your eye. Life, you know. So, I mean, people would think that this is just like the realization that explains the universe, you know, the unified field equation they thought they came up with. And they all sit around, yeah, that's it. You got it. Ah. Anyway, so when you're sober, because usually they don't apply this term sober to people who take drugs, just as alcohol. But when you come back to so-called normalcy, it's silly. So the same thing happens with imitation Krishna consciousness. That, you're intoxicated for one reason or other. I mean, people can get under the influence of others who know yoga practices, some mystic and hukku practices, or under the influence of someone who has charisma. There's all sorts of reasons why people fall into illusion. We do have these four wonderful qualities of imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, a tendency to cheat others and be an illusion. So those qualities are utilized by people against us in many circumstances. It's just like, that's life. Whether the media is using it or someone in Radha Kunda is using it, it's just like that. We have a tendency to be an illusion, a tendency to make mistakes. And, unfortunately, we also have a tendency to cheat others. So if we're being cheated, sometimes we're not aware of what we're doing, and then we bring someone else into the cheating fold. So we see that. I'm not saying everybody in Radha Kunda, but it happens. And then the devotees are there thinking, no, I'm achieving higher status in devotional service. But they're actually not. They're living an hallucination, Prabhupada. That's Prabhupada's words, not mine. They're living an hallucination because it's not descending through the proper chain of disciplic succession. I'm not criticizing everybody. I have to keep saying that because I don't want to commit any offenses. But so if we really want to have Krishna consciousness, we have to utilize our intelligence according to Shruti, Smriti, Puranas. That means the Shruti, the original Vedic literature, Smriti, like the Bhagavad Gita, the other Smriti literatures like the Itihasas, the histories, etc., like that, and then of course Srimad Bhagavatam Purana, and the instructions of the Goswamis, and then we know we're on the right path, even if we're not experiencing all that ecstasy that we want to experience. We know we're on the right path. That's intelligence, which is actually very, very important. Otherwise, what we could be chanting, like we talked about this before, like people chant so many names of Krishna, but because they're not connected to the disciplic succession, at best they're chanting Namabhas chanting rather than Shudanama chanting, and their lives don't change. And a manifestation of the change of life is not only detachment and knowledge about things, but also compassion for others, the 26 qualities of the Vaishnavas. You can see, the reason these 26 qualities of the Vaishnavas are explained is because you can see if these are developing in your heart too, in your consciousness too. You should examine yourself. Are these things developing? Are we becoming compassionate to others? Free from anger? There's a test to see if we're actually advancing in devotional service. So these are some of the points you can get from this verse. Prabhupada says, we cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the speed of the mind or words, but if we stick to devotional service, and I'm adding, under the direction of Krishna's authorized representative, we can easily and quickly approach him. In other words, Prabhupada said it very simply, don't try to see Krishna. Try to have Krishna see you. In other words, by service. Which is the same thing as Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nambavek Brahma Jyasevam Mukhehi Jivado Swayamevas Virachita, which is the verse Prabhupada quoted, that one cannot perceive Krishna through the material senses or understand Krishna through the material senses, but through service, Swayameva Svaracha, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavet Grayam Indriya, but Seva Mukhe Jivado. And actually, the service begins with Jiva, the tongue, the glorification of Krishna, and the ear, two things, the ear and the tongue. Because without using the ear properly, you cannot use the tongue properly. So these are the two most important processes in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Other processes are subservient to these processes. So any questions or comments? Yeah, Apurva.
Earlier on you mentioned about the body of pleasure and also miseries from the devotees.
Yeah.
And then you just recently mentioned about being free from anger, detached, and compassion.
Yeah. How they're developing, yeah. What's the question?
How that can be the detachment and compassion.
Well, I think that's, isn't that pretty easy to see? You know, well, compassion means not, it's the opposite, it's not really passion. Passion means we feel kindly towards those who are kindly towards us, you know, who scratch our back, so to speak, or please us. But compassion, like Prahlad Maharaj, of course, and Haridas Thakur, can be best seen. It's best seen if we have compassion, and when we're compassionate towards those who don't please us. Like Prahlad Maharaj and his father, or Haridas Thakur, and the people were whipping him in the 22 marketplaces. And compassion must be yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanupashati, spread out through all living entities. I mean, just like this morning, I was taking a shower and then going to take a shower, and there was an ant walking across the floor, you know, like they normally do. We have so many ants and bugs now, by the mercy of whatever, by the mercy of bananas, because bananas bring the bugs, bananas and sprouts. So previously, you know, many years ago, I would get angry at the ant. This stupid ant, you know, you're in my way. But then I was thinking about, Mugrari the hunter, who was jumping over the ants so he wouldn't step on any of them. So I was thinking, well, I'm not hateful towards this ant anymore. I mean, I don't think I would ever squish the ant, you know, because he was in my way. But I would get angry with him sometimes, because I'm a human being, I'm a devotee, I'm a sannyasi. Don't you recognize this? You know, what? Offer your dandavats, my dear. Imagine an ant offering dandavats. So, because this false ego thing. But somehow or other, I felt compassionate towards the ant and friendly towards the ant. So that's a sign of advancement. I mean, it's easy to feel compassion or love towards those who love you. You know, that's an easy thing. It's not real compassion. It's compassion. Okay, I guess that's it. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I need the mouse for a second. I got to turn off the recording. Everything right, Jagadguru? Yeah, we're broadcasting on Mayapur TV at the same time. Because we have like 20 people watch classes on Mayapur TV. Yeah, it's really good. We should do that. Jai! Jai Radhagalokananda, Radhagalokananda Ki Jai!